بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability, the tawfiq of gathering here again to listen to some discourse of deen that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala accept our sitting here. May it be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan, we had discussed on numerous occasions, the love of Allah. Our constant dua was, O Allah, fill in our hearts your ishq al-muhabbat. And that was something all of us were aspiring to attain, the muhabbat of Allah. If you recall, just before the i'tikaf, we said, we must become the lovers of Allah. And alhamdulillah, to some extent, inshallah, we have great hopes that we had some, we had engendered some love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the month of Ramadan brings barakat, anwarat. Unlike the other months, I'd mentioned our hearts become more receptive, soft. And when the words, the kalam of Allah is recited to us, nasihat is given, then very easily we, and readily we accept it and we bring it into practice. There were those times when a person felt that bond and strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in our du'as, either at the time of iftar or during the day, and one was able to restrain himself, herself from all temptations because we were keeping roza, we had in mind the objective of roza, the shield of taqwa that we spoke about so many times on Sunday morning, defending us from all temptations, from vice, from evil. And of course, there was a detachment from so many of other activities which we normally engage in. And many of us could find ourselves more longer in the masjid. People could make i'tikaf, mashallah. Asr to Maghrib, generally we find all the masajid were filled, people in tilawah, dua. We stood for long hours for taraweeh, salah, and tahajjud. Allah accept our ibadat. But we had this strong bond or some type of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we need to maintain this connection. The seed has been planted. It's not long after Ramadan. It's barely 2 days. So alhamdulillah, this seed of the love of Allah which we planted in our hearts, we have to now maintain this seed of Allah's love in our hearts and continue in this direction. Continue in this way. You see, this seed of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already been planted in us, into every single child that comes into this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra." Every child is born on fitra. Fitra means, that Imam Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah explained, that isti'adat, the ability to accept iman. Therefore, we say all children are born with iman. Yes, it is their parents and the environment they live in. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ Then the parents make it follow some other creed, some other religion. So every child has the istidad, the capacity of accepting Allah's commands. It has that iman. It has fitrah. It's born in Islam. So this seed of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been planted into every one of us from the time we came into this world. And this seed now has to be maintained, and therefore we have the month of Ramadan and so many other occasions. So just as in the month of Ramadan we enjoyed reciting the Holy Quran, now too it is the same Allah who we are reciting to. It is His words. And the same thoughts, the same love should still continue. It's not like now we are reading for somebody else's kalam, ma'adallah. It is Allah's kalam. The same zikr we are making, it is the same Allah. The same sweetness we enjoyed in the month of Ramadan, we should enjoy the same sweetness. So therefore we said, let us become the lovers of Allah. The pious predecessors, the love of Allah they had, and inshallah we'll mention some of those incidents. Hazrat Imam Zulfiqar Sahib has written the whole kitab on the love for Allah. So we just mentioned a few points of his kitab. The pious predecessors, they had such love of Allah that they would engage in tahajjud salat practically for long hours of the night. And they would become so engrossed in the ibadat, in this communion with Allah Rabbul Izzat, in the dua, in the dhikr, in the tilawat, talking to Allah, that the moment the Fajr Azan is given, they will become so sad that the night is over. We become sad when the night is over because of some entertainment, some function, some wedding function, or some soccer match, whatever it is. Oof, it's all over. It's already morning. The lovers of Allah would become so engrossed that they would wish that this night could be prolonged. They would make dua, ya Allah, if only this night could go longer, because we were so captivated in the love of you, O Allah, that they forgot everything. And when the azan was sounded, you know, there was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course. Not for us to practice on, because we'll have serious problem, because we don't have that type of iman, and our families don't have that level of iman and sacrifice. Sahaba, we should aspire to become like sahaba, but these few incidents in their lives, they had set a very far high standard for us. Difficult for us to emulate these few things. And it happened in one or two sahaba's lives that a man got married and his wife has adorned herself, and he said, okay, can I just pray two rakat salat please? So she agrees. And he says, Allahu Akbar. And she's waiting for him. And the two rakats finished off when Fajr Azan was sounded. Now we can't do that. We lose our wives. So that's why our ulama, mashayikhs, everything has got a balance. The problem is we just read one hadith somewhere, some kitab, some bayan, and bas. We just want to follow some. We need to understand deen in its complete. Yes, the sahabi was a great sahabi. His wife understood. He didn't do it deliberately. It's just that they were so mad in the love of Allah. The love of Allah was embedded in their hearts. They saw nothing else besides Allah. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the love for their wives and children was there. Not the sahaba neglected their wives and children. Ma'adallah, never. But the love for their wives and the children was because of the love for Allah. And Allah commanded us to take care of our wives and children, to love them as well. And therefore they love their wives and children. So never you'll find the life of sahabi, they neglected their wives and children and just threw them on one side and ignored them and didn't care for them. No. They still took care of them. But yes, they would not let the love of their wives and children become an impediment in their gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in executing the commands of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That God had priority, first priority. Allah and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter were all the other hukuk that they had to give complete due to. So this seed of the love of Allah is embedded in our hearts. And Hazrat Mawlana writes that how excellent and noble would be this temporary life if it be spent in the love of Allah. This life that we have is temporary. So this temporary life spent in the love of Allah. And of course we mention in the hereafter we gain the favors of Allah in Jannat. And the ultimate one is when Allah removes that veil and we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you meet your real beloved, what an occasion it will be. May Allah ta'ala bless all of us with that occasion. So when the heart is inhabited with the love for Allah, and the eyes are intoxicated with the love of Allah, then this world seems strange in comparison. You cannot compare this world to that. That beauty with that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're just mentioning a few points. This book is quite in detail. Just as that piece of ground, which instead of nurturing and nourishing a seed, becomes its destruction. When the soil is not good, it's bad. So instead of nourishing the seed, it becomes its destruction. Similarly, an environment which is saturated in sin covers up and conceals the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a covering of carelessness instead of fostering it. So therefore, the environment that we live in, and sometimes this heart that we, or the things that become infested in our heart and corroded, instead of making the seed of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grow, we actually damage the seed and we destroy the seed. If the environment is favorable, agreeable, the seed of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will flourish and blossom. In fact, it will also give off a pleasant scent to its surroundings. You see the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever they are going, there is some type of scent and fragrance of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes out to everybody around them and attracts so many people. Why? Because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being permeated. So he said that in every excellent environment, we will find the being of Allah present in the lives of mankind. There are a few guidelines regarding the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are detailed points that Hazrat Mawzul Fiqah Sahib has mentioned. He says the body of a human is a combination of different limbs and organs. And every limb and organ has its particular quality. For example, the quality of the eyes are to see, the ears are to hear, nose is to smell. The same manner, the quality of the heart is to love. The heart has the quality of loving. And the heart at any particular time is involved in loving someone. So when a person now fills his heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what, you're going to fill this heart with the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. A true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he takes the name of Allah, there is so much of sweetness in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when he takes the name of Allah, when Allah, it dispels, it removes all the grief that he had. And that is where we find when we make the dhikr of Allah, then we forget all those problems that were worrying us the whole day. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. The heart finds this contentment, this satisfaction, this peace, this serenity, this tranquility when the person takes the name Allah. It brings that peace of mind. It removes. Why? Because this name of Allah is the name of your beloved. And so when a person has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he takes the name of Allah with sweetness, then immediately it has an impact on that heart. So all those worries and miseries that he had, everything just disappears. That heart which does not have the imprint of Allah's love, imagine the heart which is empty and void of Allah's love. It does not have the imprint of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not find any pleasure in living. In whichever condition one finds oneself, one should always be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's difficulty, poverty. Sometimes it's prosperity, happiness and joy. All the time, the heart is filled with Allah, with Allah's love. Those who don't have the love of Allah, in times of difficulty, they lose hope. In times of happiness and prosperity, they are completely negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forget Allah completely and therefore they begin to perform such deeds and actions which are totally in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when a person becomes so full of grief and sadness, some problem, some calamity has befallen him. So what happens to him? He loses hope in the mercy of Allah. Because he's got no contact with Allah. There's no love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wants to take away his own life. But an ashiq of Allah, a true lover of Allah, never wants to take away his own life. Yes, he's prepared to give his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll put his life down for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah. But he will never take away his own life. He will never commit suicide. Hazrat Mawlana Ali Ibn Hakim Sahib rahmatullah used to say that the people who are the lovers of Allah, that even though they may be caught up in some storm, in some difficulty, still they enjoy the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though they have been rescued and they are at the shore. And he sees those people who outwardly have got the riches of this world, and they may be at the shore where there is safety and security, but because they don't have the love of Allah and they are living a life of ma'asiyah, disobedience of Allah, so then they are actually suffering like they are caught up in a storm in the sea. So the lovers of Allah, wherever they are, whatever the condition, their heart becomes ghamproof. The sorrow of this world does not affect their heart. The pains and misery of this world does not affect their heart. They will still smile, they will still be cheerful. They won't want to give up hope. And they will still continue enjoying living this world because they are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart of mankind which has tasted the sweetness of the love of Allah will find solace and solitude. The heart of mankind which has tasted the sweetness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find solace and solitude. That person whose eyes are beautiful with the surma, many times in the night we apply surma, Eid people apply surma. So that surma of the love of Allah, which a person applies, that person whose eyes are beautified with the surma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, there remains no barrier between his eyes and the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah. When the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs his gaze upon himself, then he senses himself as being saturated in sin. The true love of Allah, when he looks at his own self, he realizes how much he is in sin. But when he turns his gaze upon his beloved Allah, then he sees Allah full of favor and endowment. He realizes this Allah who I love, Allah is full of mercy. Therefore he places all his hopes on Allah. And he remains all the time in fear of Allah and he has hopes in Allah's mercy. So the ashiq, one who is the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is never negligent of his love for his true beloved. And that is why, before adhan, before salah time, his heart is already trembling. He's already looking at his watch. He's inquiring, how many minutes left for adhan? What time is salah? All the time. His mind is already moving towards the masjid, the house of Allah. He will never become negligent. Discard his salah, don't bother, and become so engrossed in some other entertainment or function where he just forget, oh, we must have salat. No. He is so particular that amidst some important matter, he will leave all that. Why? He needs to go to for salat. To answer the call of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah's meeting. So that is an ashiq of Allah subhanahu. That is what we all need to aspire. Inshallah, all of us become the ashiqs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nothing impossible. It's something that everyone, young and old, many a youngster became an ashiq of Allah. An elderly person became a lover of Allah. Sinners became the lovers of Allah. People who lived their sins in ma'asi, drunkards became the lovers of Allah. So it gives every one of us hopes that all of us can become the lovers of Allah. He's always in anticipation for the time when his beloved Allah opens the doors for him. There is no place in the heart of the ashiq other than for his beloved Allah. If he cannot see his beloved, of course, in this world with his physical eyes, then he sees Allah with the eyes of his heart. In other words, his mind is always focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the maqam of ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. That you are worshipping Allah, not only salat, all your ibadah, the entire day, it is as though you are seeing Allah. And if you cannot see Him, obviously we cannot see Him, but you can get this type of consciousness, then remember Allah is watching you. So a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches this maqam of ihsan as though he is seeing Allah all the time. And therefore you will never find his actions contrary to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always trying to better his position and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ashiq is ever desirous for the union with his beloved. Like in this world, a person is proposed, he's going to get married, he's waiting to meet his beloved. An aashiq of Allah is waiting for that union when he will see his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The many incidents of the people of the past, the type of love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mind-boggling. The effects on the face, when a person is a true lover of Allah, then there's an effect on his face. The face of the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become illuminated, brightened with the ishq, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knots in the hearts of common people will be released when they just look upon the face of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, some Hindus accepted Islam in India. Someone asked them the reason for their acceptance. What made you? What prompted you? Why did you accept Islam? They replied, by indicating to the face of Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, who was one of the very giants of Dioband, the ulama of Dioband. And we had mentioned about him previously. What a great personality. What a brilliant alim. A phenomenal memory he had. And he was a very great faqih and muhaddith. So just by looking at his face, that prompted them to accept Islam. They replied by indicating the face of Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, said, can such a face ever be the face of a false person? Since he is a Muslim, we also have become Muslims. So an ashiq of Allah has some noor that comes onto his face even. Like this, there are many other examples of people who embrace Islam just by looking at the face and the noor on some Muslim person's face. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu ta'ala, who was a Jewish priest, leader in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an alim of the Yahud. And when he had read about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi's arrival in Medina, he went. He said, "Tabayyantu wajhahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I scrutinized his face. I looked at him. I gazed at his face. Araftu annahu laysa wajhahu biwajhi kathabin. I looked at his face. I realized that his laysa wajhu wajha kathabin. His face was not a face of a false prophet. So just by looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that this man is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he embraced Islam. So Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, was a Jewish priest, came into the presence of Nabi Sallam in order to ask him three questions. He accepted Islam immediately, just at looking at the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody asked him that he had come for the reason of asking questions, not to accept Islam. What happened? He indicated the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I take an oath upon Allah, this is never the face of a liar. So, many people, upon looking at the face of Rasulullah, embrace Islam. Somebody objected, what about Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl? So one of the great scholars said, O fool, Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl looked at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just as being Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. If they looked at his face as Muhammad Rasulullah, definitely it would have had some type of effect on their hearts as well. They would have also embraced Islam. But they looked at him as an ordinary person. The brilliance in the face of Rasulullah was such that Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu always mentioned this. He looked at the 14th full moon. 14th full moon. And he looked at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he looked again at the full moon and again at the face of Rasulullah, few times until he came with a firm conclusion. There is no doubt the brilliance in the face of Rasulullah outshines the brilliance of the 14th full moon. Even the sight of the lovers of Allah, there is an effect in the sight of the true love of Allah has such an effect that wherever it falls, it leaves an impression. Al-Khadr Ghulam Hassan Rahmatullahi was a pious servant of Allah. Whenever a disbeliever would come in his company, if he looked, if this Khadr Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi would look at this disbeliever with full attention, it would have an effect on this disbeliever and he would embrace Islam. So in this way, many of those disbelievers accepted Islam, they became Muslims, so there was an uprise against this person. that he is forcing our youngsters to accept Islam. Result was that this Hazrat Khaja Sahib Hasan Ghulam Hassan Suwag Rahmatullah, he was summoned and he had to go to the court. Magistrate said it was alleged that he was forcing the youth into accepting Islam. When he heard this, he was very surprised. He looked at one of the complainants and asked, he looked at him with full attention, "Have I made you a Muslim?" In reply, this non-Muslim recited the kalima. He then indicated the second person, third and fourth, all began reciting the kalima. The magistrate was a non-Muslim. He became so scared and said, "Do not indicate to me also." Saying this, he understood the matter. He dropped the case, exonerated Hazrat with honor and respect. Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatul Ali, very famous story, once spent 18 years in a masjid, all every day going, spending hours. And he would spend for making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time in the masjid. And during this time, he would complain the translation of Quran Sharif and make other ibadat. When he exited from the masjid, his gaze fell upon a dog. And the narrator of the story, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, and he says the effect was such that due to this mere gaze, and he had mentioned that noor was oozing out of his eyes because of the ibadat he made, and that this dog became the king of all the other dogs. All the other dogs would follow this dog. And therefore, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi said, "How I wish that at that time some person was passing by. If it was a non-Muslim, he would have accepted Islam. If it was a Muslim person, he would become the wali of Allah." But at that time, a dog was being passed. So it has the ashik of Allah. There's effects on the eyes. There's effects on the tongue. Even when they speak, it creates a great impact on the hearts of the people. We have seen many a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we sat in their company. That even when they were silent, even if the tongue did not say anything, just the silence would generate love into our hearts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they spoke also, the person was reminded of Allah. Then you realize that Allah is your beloved. And how much you should be loving Allah. And how much you should make the dhikr of Allah. And how much you should be obeying Allah. And at that time you just feel like crying and making tawbah istighfar. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam incident we have heard many times. He was grazing his flock of sheep. The person was passing close by. And as he was passing by, he read, "Subhanadhi al-mulki wal-malakut, Subhanadhi al-izzati wal-azmati wal-haybati wal-qudrati wal-kibriyai wal-jabarut." Take the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ibrahim alayhi salam heard his beloved Allah's praises in such beautiful words, he was greatly affected. He asked the person, "Please repeat these words for me." The person asked him, "What would you give me in lieu of this?" As Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, "You'll give him half his flock of sheep." The person repeated these words. As Ibrahim alayhi salam again begged him, "Please say these words again." He said, "Okay, what do you give me now?" He said, "I'll give the remaining half of the flock." So he repeats his words, "Subhanadhi al-izzati wal-azmati wal-haybati wal-qudrati wal-kibriyai wal-jabarut." Once again, Hazrat Ibrahim was overcome with ecstasy by these words. He asked the person, "Please, one more time, repeat these words." The person said, "You've got nothing now. You give me all your flock of sheep. How will you compensate me now?" Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said that he would tend this person's sheep for him. He'll become the shepherd. He was known as Khalilullah. Ibrahim alayhi salam had that love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. "Please recite the praises of my beloved once more." The person says, "Glad tidings to you, O Ibrahim. You are the Khalil of Allah. I am the angel of Allah. Allah has sent me. And Allah has told me to come to you before you and take his name and see what reaction it would solicit from you. Let's see how you react." So this is that muhabbat the friends of Allah have. Once there were two tabi'een who were taken as captives by the enemy. It's a long incident, and then there was a cauldron of hot boiling water and they were told to renounce Islam, otherwise they'll be thrown inside. And so there was a sahabi also, there was a sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And the first person was thrown, Hudhafa radiallahu anhu was amongst those captives. And that one person was thrown into this boiling water. And the king said, told Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, if you don't renounce Islam, then the same thing will happen to you. So he still remained firm on Iman. So they grabbed him and they were pretending to throw him inside, and he began to weep and he cried. So the king thought, now he's afraid. And perhaps now he's going to leave Islam. So he says, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying that I only have one life to give in the name of my beloved Allah. If I had that number of lives equivalent to the hair on my body, then it would have been something else. I only got one life. When the king saw his steadfastness, he agreed to release him on condition that he kisses him on his forehead. Ulama have said that he just pretended, put his hand and he just pretended that he's kissing his forehead, or he put the handcuff, something he kissed, or if he kissed the forehead of the king, but not out of reverence and respect. He was released. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu was the Amir at the time. When he heard of this incident, he himself stood up. He welcomed this group of Sahaba that came back, and he himself kissed the Sahabi on his forehead. And he instructed the other Sahaba to do the same. These are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they were prepared to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, sitting in seclusion making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one person treading the path of suluk came by and said to him, connect me to Allah. Hazrat Shibli asked, to Allah? The name of Allah emerged from his lips. And as Shibli said, connect you to Allah. It came out of his lips with such an effect that this person who came to him and asked to be connected to Allah, his heart was split asunder and he passed away there and then. Case of murder was brought against Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi. He was arrested. When he reached the court, the judge said, Shibli, you have murdered a youth. He replied, most certainly not. The youth asked me to connect him to Allah. And all I said was to Allah. And he could not bear these words. When the judge heard the name of Allah from Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi, when he said to Allah, he felt such an awe-inspiring effect on his heart that he dismissed the case immediately. He realized the love Hazrat Shibli had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the blessed habit of Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi that whenever a person took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his presence, he would place sweetmeats in that person's mouth. A person asked him the reason for this. He replied, when a person takes the name of my beloved, and if I do not place sweetmeats into his mouth, what else can I do? One day, while Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi was walking, a few children started following him, and they thought he was insane. They constrained him, continued walking whilst ignoring them. One boy threw a stone at him, which struck him on the shin, and he started bleeding. A man saw the scene, scolded the boys, chased them away. He started tending to the wounds of Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi. He was surprised to note that the blood which was flowing from the body of Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi was forming the words Allah on the ground. Subhanallah. His body was permeating with the love of Allah to such an extent that even the blood emerging from his body was forming the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of these incidents we might not understand, but these were a reality. These people were soaked in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many other incidents of Jigar Muradabadi. Oh, he was a drunkard, and then how he changed his life in the company of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi. And then he becomes a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a story of a man who bought some fish and he contracted the person to deliver the fish to his home for a certain amount. I'll pay you, just carry this fish for me. The person said, no problem. But on one condition, when it's time for salat, then I have left to stop for salat. So he agreed. And as he proceeded, suddenly they hear the azan. So the worker said, I'm going for salat. They had prearranged this condition. The owner of the fish accepted, said, okay, I'll stand by the fish. You go perform your salat. The worker went into the masjid, started his salat. He was still busy in his salat. It took a bit while. Others already leaving the masjid. After a while, the owner of the fish called out, oh, you! You're taking such a long time. What's preventing you from coming out of the masjid? What's the matter with you? So this person replies, sir, the one who is preventing me from coming out is the same one that is preventing you from entering into the masjid. Let Allah, who is holding me back in His love, in the masjid, making His ibadah, is the same Allah who has prevented you because you have no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you had the love of Allah, you too will be into the masjid. May Allah give us the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many other incidents. Here's a story of a slave girl. And she was purchased by a person, a master. And this person was walking the marketplace and he saw another man selling his slave girl. There were no takers. The slave girl appeared to be very thin. This man thought, then bought her for some very meager sum of money. And that night, when the new owner's eyes opened, he saw that she was performing tahajjud salat, making dua. And when she was making dua, she said, "Oh Allah, I take an oath upon the love you have for me. The love you have for me." So he reprimanded her. Do not say like that. Rather you say, "Oh Allah, I take an oath upon the love that I have for you." You cannot say Allah has got love for you. You can say you have got love for Allah. So upon hearing this, the slave girl became enraged. She said, "My master, if Allah did not love me, He would not have granted me the opportunity to spend the entire night on the musalla and you to have a peaceful sleep." So the fact that Allah loves a person, Allah gives the person a chance to make his ibadat. As though Allah awakens him, or Allah does awaken the person, and come and perform your tahajjud salat. And take my names and hymn my beautiful names and glorify me. She then broke out in tears and said, "Oh Allah, now my secret is out and your makhluk, your creation is away of my condition. Please do call to yourself. Please call me to yourself." Saying this, she passed away there on the musalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His true ishq and muhabbat. There are so many other aspects of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could continue mentioning. May Allah fill our hearts with the ishq and muhabbat of Allah. This is the level we need to now increase. We're just not ordinary servants of Allah, but we become the lovers of Allah. And everything becomes so enjoyable. Our ibadat becomes enjoyable. Refraining from sins become an enjoyment. Person gets so happy now. He gets a feeling of ecstasy when now he stays away from sins. He gets happy because I'm pleasing my Allah. When he lowers his gaze, when the beautiful woman is going past, and now he lowers his gaze for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the sweetness of iman. Now he understands to what it means to be a lover of Allah. His heart is connected to the masjid, to all dini programs, gatherings. He will go into pious company. He will always be doing those things that please his beloved Allah. May Allah ta'ala make us his true ashiqs. May Allah grant us his true love. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.